to take away my reproach among men. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he speaks to her, tells her about the birth of our Savior, and then look at verse 36, having told her of Christ and him, and his coming into the world, it says in verse 36, and behold, Elizabeth thy cousin, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her that was called barren, for no word from God shall be void of power. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, this is a visit with cousin Elizabeth. And Mary arose in these days and went into the hill country of the Cave, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the thing which had been spoken to her from the Lord. Let us put God again in prayer. Father, we thank you for heard and read of this Christmas story of thy son coming into the world. Thou knowest, it still thrills us. We rejoice. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. We are thankful for that. Thou told us about the man Christ Jesus, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We are thankful for that time when he became a man. And we are thankful our God that he shall forever remain a man, God manifest in the flesh. We are thankful that having taken upon him our humanity, that he shall never put it away. We thank you that there is one who is a mediator between God and man, being himself both God and man, and his work is one of perfection. So we read and think this morning, our Father, pertaining to his birth and the birth of John the Baptist, and we would ask of you to teach us lessons from these scriptures that we've read. We thank you for the word of God. So feed our souls and strengthen us, as you told us, building up yourself on your most holy faith. And that is what we desire to do this morning. So bless us to that end, we pray. We thank you for all your goodness to us, and we thank you for your mercy toward us. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What is so remarkable about the passage that I read to you today is it is something that took place at that season of the year, like the things that take place this season of the year. Some are not here today because they have gone to visit their father, their mother, their loved ones. And here, God tells us about another visit. Here, it's one woman visiting with another woman. And these women happen to be cousins. And so this is Mary's visit with her cousin, Elizabeth. And there has never been such a visitation in the history of the world like the distance. For this reason, both of these women are with child miraculously. Tell me anywhere in the Bible where you have two women at the same time that are miraculously with child visiting with one another. You say, well, I remember Sarah conceived in her old age, yes, and who was there to visit her also that was miraculously with child? You say, no one. So this is a unique occurrence. And what makes it more interesting is this, that they're not just friends, but they're cousins. The word does not necessarily mean cousins the way that you and I have cousins. If your father or mother had brothers or sisters, then all of their children are cousins. But here, it is your kinswoman. But it doesn't give us anything more specific. So, at times the word is translated kinsperson, and at times it's translated cousin. There is a degree of consanguinity, there is a blood relationship, and so what is so remarkable is that both of these women who are kin to one another are miraculously the child. This chapter is filled with the miraculous. And what makes Mary go to visit her cousin Elizabeth is this, what the angel said to her. The angel said, your cousin Elizabeth is with child, and she conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. Having conveyed that message to Mary, Gabriel, the angel, told her that. Think now of how important it would be for Mary to go and talk with someone who has had a miraculous conception of a child herself, because the angel said, your cousin Elizabeth is already 6 months with child, and he said, you also of a child. You remember? Behold, it says, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then, having spoken of something like this that had never taken place before, he says, and your cousin Elizabeth also has conceived a child in her old age. So think now. Suppose you had a cousin who was 70 or 75 years old, and someone came and told you, did you know that your cousin Elizabeth, who's 70, 75 years old, is now pregnant and she's going to have a child? You would say, what? It's impossible. And so what Mary does is, in the first month of her pregnancy, understand that the Lord Jesus is conceived in her womb, Mary is going to visit her cousin Elizabeth. It's a good thing that she went at this time when it's unknown that she is a child. And if you think of the distance of Nazareth to Jerusalem or the Hebron, wherever Zacharias lived, he was in Jerusalem. He was a priest, and in the Old Testament, the priest had certain cities that were assigned to them. In the New Testament, it does not necessarily mean that they continue that way, but he would be somewhere near Jerusalem. So, when it was his turn to minister, he could come and do his work in the temple. So it means that Mary has to travel from Nazareth to at least Jerusalem, or beyond 75 to 100 miles. And she is not married to Joseph as yet. She's just betrothed to him. Now, what happens is this. you have to determine whether what we read in Matthew about the angel in a dream coming and telling Joseph about the pregnancy of Mary, whether he has told her before she leaves, or whether the angel tells him after she comes back. I take it that it's after she comes back. She goes and visits her mother for 3 months. She stays there 3 months. Because how would it be possible for Joseph to look upon this woman to whom he's engaged, he's betrothed to her? How would he know she would be the child? And she has told him nothing about this miraculous conception, because the angel has to come and explain it to him. He knew nothing about it. So I take it that she went and visited with Elizabeth for 3 months. And then when she comes back after 3 months, it's evident to everybody that she is the child. And think of the heart of Joseph when he sees this woman that he's loved, he wants to marry her, and he sees that she's the child. And I know that she hasn't told him, and he knows nothing about it, because he's thought about it, and he said, well, what I'm going to do is to put her away privately. I don't want to embarrass her, but I'm not going to marry this woman who has been indiscreet and is the child by another man. And when he was thinking on these things, it says, an angel came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph's heart is put at ease. And so think of all that has occurred in the heart of Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary because of these supernatural happenings that had never happened to people before since Abraham and Sarah. What happens is she wants to go and have fellowship with her cousin Elizabeth. Think now of the places in the Word of God where those that are like one another in both are having children, or they are like one another in that they are kin to each other, or they are like one another because they both trusted Christ, the Savior. It's such a good thing to have visits with people of like faith, people that have something in common with you. So often we go and visit people and we have nothing in common, and you try to speak of some music that you like, but they don't like that kind of music. And you speak of literature that you like, but they don't like the things that you read. And you'll speak of some sport that you like, but they don't like sport. And so you visit them if you have nothing in common. But I can assure you this. If you have two women and both of them are with child, how much they will have to talk about. Now, why what these women have to talk about is so important is that they both are the child miraculously. What has happened is that this woman, Elizabeth, past the time when women can have children, has been enabled by God to have children. The course of nature has been reversed, and now in her womb she is able to have children again. So this is a miracle. And in the case of Mary, without knowing a man, the Holy Spirit has come upon her. The power of the Most High has overshadowed her, and she is the child. Now, what two women could ever have such a conversation to talk about? Two women that are going to have children, yes, they can talk about it. But for Elizabeth to tell how something that they've given up hope of ever realizing has taken place. And then, this is what I want to emphasize now. That all that I've read to you that Elizabeth said to Mary was imparted to her by the Spirit of God.
in the case of Mary, that she knew that Elizabeth was his child. This wasn't by inspiration. Gabriel had come and said, now your cousin Elizabeth is this child, and this is the 6th month the girl that was called barren. But some 100 miles between the two, and now Mary is going to see Elizabeth, and nothing has been told her about Mary being the child. But as soon as she comes in and salutes Elizabeth, when Mary gives her greeting, immediately it says, John the Baptist, who is in her womb, leaps for joy. And then it says that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and then she begins to speak. So here she becomes a prophetess, and she is telling things that were unknown to her and revealed to her by the Spirit of God. Mary knew of her condition because the angel told her. But now Elizabeth knows of Mary's condition because the Spirit of God tells her. It's the only way that it could possibly be, because God has given us no record of any communication between the two. If Mary said any more than, greetings, cousin Elizabeth, embrace her. But as soon as she spoke, then the babe leaped in her womb, and then Elizabeth spoke these words that are so remarkable. So listen to them again now, and understand that these are miraculous words, because they are spoken by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 41. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. That is one miracle. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That is another thing that is special from God. And she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, now all of these words are imparted by the enabling of the Spirit of God. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came unto mine ears, that they leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. How remarkable that Elizabeth, who knew nothing about what had happened to Mary, as far as God tells us, now is able not only to relate the fact, but is able to interpret the fact and to also utter assurances concerning what happened in the heart of Mary when the angel told her that she was going to succeed and bring forth a son. Now, that is miraculous, something that I've never taken into consideration before, and so that makes it doubly remarkable. Thinking of this, let's think, first of all, about fellowship one with another. If you were a woman 75 years old, and suddenly you were with child, everyone that you ever saw, you would have to explain to them and tell them how this could be. How incredulous it would be. But this is what Elizabeth would have to tell. And who could accept it? Who could understand it? They might listen to it, but they would go away shaking their head and saying, well, I just don't know. I don't know. And if that is hard enough to believe, who would ever believe Mary if she told them about her miraculous conception? Not an old man and an old woman. That's hard enough to believe. But I am the child of the Holy Spirit. Who would believe such a thing? Joseph would never believe such a thing. No one else would believe such a thing. The only one who could persuade her that this was so would be an angel, as an angel was required to tell Joseph about Mary's miraculous conception, and then Joseph accepted it. It's the only way that he could be persuaded to believe it. If God had not told him, and it had been confirmed from heaven that Mary's child was of the Holy Spirit, Joseph, his whole life long,
would go along not believing. How would he know? And so God had to give confirmation of it. I told you, in speaking about the miracles of Christ, that it was necessary for those miracles to be performed as the credentials of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suppose a man comes to you, and you've known him his whole life long. He's been a carpenter in Nazareth. He's 30 years of age. And he comes forth and he says, I am the Son of God. What would happen is what did happen when our Savior went back to where he was brought up and was speaking wonderful words. And the people that listened to him said, where did this man get these things? Where is such power given unto him? We know who this man is. Why, we know his mother. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. And it says they will stumble because of him. So they're not going to believe. But what is so delightful about the fellowship, the visit of Mary with Elizabeth, is this. That Elizabeth knew that her conception was miraculous. And Mary knew that her conception was miraculous. And both of them would understand and embrace each other and say, well, our condition is of God, and only he and only I can understand one another. Think of the preciousness of that fellowship. And it's like this. You go around people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and you start telling them things from the Bible, things that cannot be believed, unless the Spirit of God has revealed it unto them. And they will listen to you, and they will shake their head, and they will say, well, that's what you believe. Those are old wives' fables. But, so very often, they will not believe that the things that are true that you have received by faith, they will not accept them. I remember one thing that was a great encouragement to me. I had cousins. And when they knew me, I was lost. I was a sinner, and I did not know Christ the Savior. That after so many years, I being the same as they, when we came together again, I had been born again. And the foul language of the past was gone, and the life that was displeasing to God was gone, and now my lips were filled with the praises of the Lord Jesus, and the way to heaven, and I sought to do the will of God in my life. And my cousin came out to hear me preach on one occasion. And when I got through preaching, my youngest cousin, Billy Mills, looked at his other cousins and he said, he believes it. So often they will tell you that you don't believe it, that you're a hypocrite, that it's untrue. But that great encouragement was this. He heard me tell him about my Savior, and whether or not he believed it, he looked around and he said, he believed it. Now, in the case of Elizabeth with Mary, Mary would say, I am the child of the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth would believe it, and Elizabeth would say with Mary, and the angel who told me has already told you that I am the child empowered, my husband being empowered, and myself being empowered to have children, it is with the Holy Spirit, and they would both agree and understand one another. And so in like manner, if my cousins ever do trust Christ as Savior, then instead of once or so a year having to come and go to church and listen to me preach and hear me tell them about the glories of the Lord Jesus, I'm hoping that someday they will be born again. And as cousins, we can come together, and having told them about my Savior, they can say, yes, yes, we understand now, and your Savior is our Savior. The encouragement from the fellowship of the saints. Perhaps that's one of my faults. I go to see you, but seldom do I intrude on you. But it says in the book of Malachi, and I want to bring a few things to your attention now about the fellowship of the saints. In Malachi, it happened long ago, the same thing that happened in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2. It says, the ones that had received Christ as Savior, it says they continued steadfastly
in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayer. And this is what happened to the first Christians. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. You're saved. Thank God you're saved. But what do you know about your salvation? How far have you gone down the way of truth? And so the Christians were together, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine, that inspired teaching about heaven and hell and the Lord Jesus and life and death. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They came, and fellowship means a sharing. So you come this morning, you come to hear preaching. But if I come to your home or you come to mine and we have fellowship, it is your giving to me as well as my giving to you. This is what it says, and you may look at it in the book of Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 1. This is what fellowship is, and it was important even to the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 11. The Apostle Paul said, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end that you may be established. That is, that I with you may be comforted in you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. Now that's remarkable. I can understand the Apostle Paul coming to visit me and imparting to me a gift and strengthening me by his faith. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm coming to visit you, and I'm going to be strengthened, and I'm going to be edified by your faith as well. That is the fellowship of the saints. It's so good when I, as a preacher, get with others, and when I'm with them, what I try to do is this. I say, what part of the Bible have you been reading? What has been precious to you from the Word of God lately? And then at times, they will tell you a portion from Scripture, and it will be a blessing to your heart as much as when I preach the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, what I tell them is a blessing to their heart. And that is what God wants us to understand. There is no such thing as one man having all the food, the truth, giving it to people, and they are simply the recipient. They sit there with their mouths open and they are fed. But having been fed, having lived in the world as children of God, having had their experiences, they are to come and tell you about their experiences. And that's why it's so important in living for the Lord Jesus Christ to have something that is a blessing to your soul, and then to go and tell it to somebody else that it might be a blessing to their soul. Listen to what John says in his first epistle. It says, concerning the Lord Jesus, it says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you also, that you may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so if a man has had fellowship with the Father and with the Son, I want him to tell me that. And if I've had that same fellowship, I want to hear and to tell him of my fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And what he says in the book of Malachi, that happened so many hundreds of years before the New Testament, it says, they then that feared the Lord spake often one with another. And it says, the Lord hearkened, and a book of remembrance was opened. And so the children of God were speaking often one with another. They did fear the Lord. You fear the Lord, I fear the Lord. Well, let's come together in fellowship with one another. And it says, they spake with one another. How is Christ precious to you? How is Christ precious to me? They spoke one with another. And it said that God hearkened. So I'm listening to you, and you are listening to me, and God is listening to both of us from heaven. And it says God writes down the things that we say. And if we are talking about the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Father knows that our hearts are captivated with the glory of his son. And you tell me, and I tell you. And it says, God is writing a book. So, in the Old Testament, they did it. In the New Testament, they did it. And John is writing to others that they might have fellowship with him. And Paul is writing that they might have fellowship with him. And what God expects is for us to share with one another the things that we have learned from the Word of God itself and from the Spirit working in our lives what He's done for us in this life. That is what is such an encouragement. It's like this. It's when Peter, who is going to preach to the Gentiles, and the Jews have not learned as yet that God was interested in the Gentiles as well as the Jews, then the Apostle Peter had to tell them that experience that he had from heaven. And when he told them how the Lord Jesus had let down that great sheet and said, what God is cleansed, call thou not unclean or common. He told them that. Then they said, then God hath granted unto the Gentiles believing unto eternal life. Repentance unto eternal life. So the Apostle Peter came and told Jews that God had accepted the Gentiles, and they believed it, and then Paul, the Apostle Paul, as well as the Apostle Peter, the Jew, believed, and then the other Jews believed, and then they understood that God was no respecter of persons. So here we have two little women, and this is another encouragement, who had an old woman and a young woman. So often, what young people want to do with old people, and what old people want to do with young people. But there are some people that want to do with old people. When I started checking up on my kin folk, my genealogy, I would have nothing better than finding old relatives of mine, because they knew relatives of theirs. Now, I might know my father and grandfather, but if I knew my grandfather's cousin, then they would know two generations more. And I delighted to go and fellowship with old people. And some old people do not want young people about them. They irritate them. But others that are old want young people to be around them, to encourage them, and to look upon the life that lies before them, and to think about the life that they have already lived, and to pass on experience. So what God is doing here is telling us about the fellowship of an old woman with a young woman. Both of them have miracles from God having occurred in their womb, and they want to tell one another about it, just like this. After our Savior is risen from the dead, he had talked to Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus told them wonderful things for 7 miles. And then the Lord Jesus revealed himself to them. And having walked 7 miles, they turned around and went back 7 miles and found the apostles gathered together. And when they came together, they rehearsed unto the apostles what the Lord Jesus had told them. And the apostles told about Jesus appearing unto Peter. Now that's what God wants. He wants us to come together and share our experiences and to strengthen one another, because the world doesn't understand. None of the leaders of this world have understood who Jesus is, but you and I understand. And so let fellowship with one another be precious. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for all things that you show us in the Word of God. Some of them are deep and mysterious. Some of them are miraculous. But some of them, our God, are things that are very practical and help us from day to day. We know that nothing like that that happened to Elizabeth and Mary can happen to us. But our God, things that have happened to them miraculously, spiritually have happened to us. We were dead and we've been made alive. You who were dead in trespasses and in sin, you have been made alive in Christ Jesus. And so we can tell each other about how we were born again and how God has been so good to us and has strengthened us day by day. And so, as Mary visited cousin Elizabeth, may we visit our brothers and sisters in Christ and rejoice around Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.